Please turn in your Bibles this morning to the book of Ezekiel. I'd like to read from Ezekiel chapter 14. I encourage you to get a Bible, look in the pew and on the back of the pew in front of you and see if you see a Bible, if you don't have your own. But please follow in God's Word from Ezekiel chapter 14. I would like to begin with verse 12 and read through the end of the chapter. Ezekiel chapter 14, beginning with verse 12 and reading through verse 23. God is going to talk about in this passage of Scripture that because of the sin of His people, God says that when a nation turns their back on God, then God is going to bring judgment on that nation. He's going to chasten them with famine and with beasts and with a sword and with pestilence. However, God also makes it plain that there is always going to be a remnant that God spares. There was a remnant that God spared at the time of the flood. There was a remnant that God spared from Sodom and Gomorrah. There was a remnant of the Jews that God spared when He destroyed Jerusalem. God has always had a few people that were faithful to Him in spite of all the ungodliness and unfaithfulness in a nation. It's extremely important that all of us, as God's people, that we realize that each and every one of us is accountable to God for what we do and how we live. I cannot live my children's lives for them. I do believe that while we're raising our children, we ought to have every influence in the world over them. I believe that as long as they put their feet under your table, that they're accountable to you and responsible to you, and you are responsible to be sure that they live lives that would honor and glorify God. After they're grown, I still think you ought to do everything you can to try to get them to live lives that would honor and glorify God. If you see them committing sin, you have the responsibility to be sure they understand the consequences of them committing that sin. You have a responsibility not only with your children, but with your brothers and sisters in Christ, that when you see one going astray, it's important that you try to convert them. The reason is, among other things, that God does judge His people according to their works while they live here in this world. There is a final judgment, and the people of God are not going to be judged according to their works then. I'm not going to be in heaven, nor will anyone else be in the eternal heaven because their good works outweighed their bad works. We're not going to be in the eternal heaven because of what we have done that is right and good. We're going to be in the eternal heaven because of the amazing grace of God and the shed blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. God has saved us from our sins. We are responsible to God now as we live here in this world, and God judges His people according to their works. When I do things that are wrong, I need to understand that I cannot just say, well, Jesus paid for my sins. There are no consequences to that. There are consequences for my sins while I live here in this world. And that's what this passage is about. But among other things it's saying is that all of your righteousness, there is a righteousness that comes from keeping the commandments of God. All of your righteousness will not save anyone else from the judgments of God when God brings His judgment on a nation. Look carefully at that now. He's going to reiterate that four times. In Ezekiel chapter 14, Ezekiel 14 beginning in verse 12, the Word of God says, "The Word of the Lord came again to me, saying, Son of man, when the land sinneth against me by trespassing grievously." Now, brethren, there are people that think that there's no such thing as sins, some sins being more serious than others. That's contrary to the Word of God. There are sins that the Word of God calls for the death penalty. There are sins that the Word of God describes as very grievous sins. That's what God is talking about here, that when the land sinneth against me by trespassing grievously. You remember Sodom and Gomorrah? The Word of God says that when God saw that they were committing grievous sins, that is, they were guilty of what we call today homosexuality, and our nation is guilty of legalizing and saying it's all right to do things that God's Word says are an abomination in the sight of God. There are many, many ways that we as a nation, that we have done away with the laws of God, and we have adopted our own laws that contradict the law of God. We as a nation have sinned grievously by saying it's all right to have a divorce and then remarry without scriptural grounds for divorce. That's a grievous sin that causes many people to live in adultery because they did not have scriptural grounds for divorce. There are many people today that are living in adultery that nobody has any problem with them living in adultery because the standard has been lowered in the church and in the lives of God's people to where it makes no difference about divorce and remarriage. It makes a difference to God, and the laws of God have not changed. But it's a very grievous thing to commit adultery, and the Word of God tells us about those that divorce and remarry. They do not have scriptural grounds. They're living in adultery. Adultery is just one of the sins that's very grievous that's mentioned in the Scriptures. It is one. Homosexuality is another. Abortion is another one that in the past, since 1973, has been legalized in the United States of America. It is an atrocity what is being done in the murdering of unborn children. I want you to know that our nation is due and past due for the judgments of God that are going to be described in this chapter. So he says, Son of man, when the land, this is verse 13, Son of man, when the land sinneth against me by trespassing grievously, then will I stretch out my hand upon it and will break the staff of the bread thereof and will send famine upon it and will cut off man and beast from it. God sends famine. We don't know what it is to have a famine in the United States of America. But God can send a famine and every one of us can be hungry by tomorrow. Did you know God can do that in one day? God can send a famine in this land. Verse 14 says, now listen carefully, and this is what I want you to think about. Verse 14 says, though these three men, Noah, was Noah a good man in his generation? Was Noah a man of righteousness in his generation? God says, though these three men, Noah, Daniel, was Daniel a great man of God, man that loved God, feared God, kept the commandments of God? Though these three men, Noah, Daniel, and Job, was Job an upright man that feared God, served God, and loved God? Indeed he was. Though these three men, Noah, Daniel, and Job, were in it, that is in this land that begins to turn her back on God, they should deliver but their own souls by their righteousness, saith the Lord. I want you to understand the Word of God teaches that you can deliver your soul from the unjust in a land. As God brings his judgment on a land, you can deliver your soul by your righteousness. That is not talking about delivering your soul from eternal hell when this world is over. It's talking about delivering your body and soul from the judgments of God that he sends upon a nation when that nation turns her back on God. You can deliver your soul by your righteousness. Does everybody follow that? That is completely different than the righteousness that gets us into the eternal heaven. Your righteousness will not get you into the eternal heaven. That takes the righteousness of Jesus Christ. But your righteousness can deliver you from the judgments of God while you live here in this world. Verse 15 says, if I cause noisome beasts to pass through the land, and they spoil it so that it be desolate, that no man may pass through because of the beast. Though these three men, that's talking about Noah, Daniel, and Job, though these three men were in it, as I live, saith the Lord God, they shall deliver neither sons nor daughters. They only shall be delivered, but the land shall be desolate. What is God saying now the second time? He's saying that when I send my sword, when I send a famine, when I send beasts into the land, when I send judgment into the land, those that are going to be spared are the ones that are serving God, fearing God, loving God, and keeping His commandments. Those that are doing righteousness, the Word of God is saying, their righteousness will deliver who? Only them. Only them. Verse 17 says, or if I bring a sword, listen carefully to verse 17, or if I bring a sword upon that land and say, sword, go through the land so that I cut off man and beast from it. Though these three men were in it, as I live, saith the Lord, they shall deliver neither sons nor daughters, but they only shall be delivered themselves. Now let me hasten to say this. You can deliver, if you study Proverbs chapter 23, verses 13 and 14, the Word of God says that if you apply the rod and you discipline your children, you can deliver their soul from a hell. Now that's not talking about if they live ungodly later, that your righteousness will deliver them then. But as long as you train up your children and you teach them the right way. Listen, brethren, I believe with all of my heart, one of the biggest problems we have today is that parents are such hypocrites that the words that come out of their mouths mean nothing to the children. There are parents, there are adults that they drink and get drunk, or they look at pornography, or they do all other kinds of wickedness, but tell their children, don't do as I do as I say. Brethren, you're wasting your time. Or there are parents that take their children to the house of God every Sunday, and they think that's all there is to bringing up your children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. That's not all there is. It's 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. It is a continuous work that parents have to train up their children in the way that they should go. And in training them up in the right way, you deliver their soul from hell. And that's the hell that I'm talking about here, where God sends His judgment on His people because of the sin of a nation. Verse 19, look at verse 19. Verse 19 says, or if I send pestilence into the land and pour out my fury upon it in blood to cut off from it man and beast, though Noah, Daniel, and Job were in it, as I live, saith the Lord God, they shall deliver neither son nor daughter. Listen carefully to these words now. They shall but deliver their own souls by their righteousness. Do you see that the Word of God is making it clear that we can deliver our souls by our righteousness, but we cannot deliver the souls of anyone else by our righteousness. You can work with people, you can labor with people, and you can help save them. You can help get them that they might turn from their wicked ways. But your righteousness will only deliver you in the day of God's judgment. I believe that it is the responsibility of men of God to warn the people about the sin that's in their lives. God told Isaiah, cry aloud and spare not. Cause my people to know their transgression and their iniquity. Back up to Ezekiel chapter 2. We're reading from Ezekiel. I want you to back up to Ezekiel chapter 2, where God is sending Ezekiel out to this nation to tell the people what they were doing wrong. In Ezekiel chapter 2, listen please, beginning in verse 3. Ezekiel chapter 2, beginning in verse 3, the Word of God says, and He said unto me, Son of man, I send thee to the children of Israel. I want you to know, brethren, that the children of Israel in the Old Testament represent the born-again children of God today. They're God's chosen people. They're a special people unto the Lord. And God says in Ezekiel chapter 2 and verse 3, I send thee to the children of Israel, to a rebellious nation that hath rebelled against me. And they and their fathers have transgressed against me, even unto this very day. For they are impudent children and stiff-hearted. I do send thee unto them, and thou shalt say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God. And they, listen carefully to verse 5, and they, whether they will hear or whether they will forbear, for they are a rebellious house, yet shall know that there hath been a prophet among them. Do you know when they're going to know that a prophet has been among them? Do you know when it's going to finally register that God was warning them? When God sends forth his judgment like fury, when God sends forth the hail on his nation, that he has loved and blessed abundantly. And brethren, I believe with all of my heart that there's never been a nation that has been blessed like the United States of America. I don't believe that God has ever been in the forming of a nation any more than he was in the forming of our nation. I don't believe there's ever been a body of people that wanted to do what the Word of God says any more than our founding fathers did. There's never been a nation that the laws of the land were based one after another on the laws of God, and the people of God loved God, feared God, and served God, and God blessed America. But our nation has turned her back on God. And God is going to turn his back on us. And God is going to send forth his fury. Brethren, there are people that think that's not the God of the New Testament. I'll tell you, you're going to find out, and everybody else is going to find out, that is the God of the New Testament. God is going to send forth his fury on our land. But there is hope. Do you hear what I'm telling you? There is hope for you and your family. And that is, listen again to the text. The text in Ezekiel 14 says, they shall deliver their own souls by their righteousness. Do you hear that? You can deliver your soul by your righteousness. Go with me back just a moment to the book of Exodus. In Exodus chapter 32, the Word of God tells us about Moses. In Exodus chapter 32, the Word of God tells us about Moses. Moses was leading the children of Israel out of Egyptian bondage, and the children of Israel began to murmur and complain. They turned their backs on God. They built a golden calf. They completely abandoned the one true and living God and built them an idol. They made themselves an idol. Do we have any idols in our lives today? Do you think we have any idols? Do you think you and I might have some idols in our lives? I pray that God will help us all to examine ourselves and to purge ourselves of those idols before God comes to judge us and to judge our nation. God help me, and may God help you and help us together to purge our lives of those idols. In Ezekiel chapter 32, the children of Israel have built a golden calf. And Moses began, listen, in Exodus chapter 32, beginning in verse 31. And Moses returned unto the Lord and said, Oh, this people have sinned, a great sin. You hear the wording there? What kind of sin? Are the different degrees of sin taught in the Word of God? Absolutely. This people have sinned a great sin and have made them gods of gold. Listen to what his request is now. He's going to ask God. He's going to say, God, I want you to blot me out of your book. I want you to bring your judgments on me, but spare this people. Does that sound like maybe what a mama would do, or maybe a daddy? But does that sound like what a mother would do? Is, please, please spare my children. And Moses felt that way toward these people. And he said, in verse 32, he says, Yet now, if thou wilt, forgive their sin. And if not, Blot me, I pray thee, out of thy book, which thou hast written. Brethren, the book that Moses is talking about is the book of life. It's the Lamb's book of life. It's called the book of life of the Lamb. It's a book in which the names of the people of God that are able to have fellowship with God, the people of God that are trying to do right, the people of God that are trying to do righteousness, their names are in that book. And when the people of God that have been trying to do righteousness, when they turn their back on God, our names can be blotted out of the book. So Moses said, don't blot them out of the book. I pray, blot me out of thy book that thou hast written. Verse 33 says, and the Lord said unto Moses, whosoever hath sinned against me, him will I blot out of my book. Does everybody hear that? Who does God say he's going to blot out of his book? Those that have those grievous sins toward him. Him that have sinned against me. Can you deliver your brother? Can you deliver your sister? Can you deliver your mother? Can you deliver your daughter? Can you deliver your child? Can you deliver your husband? Can you deliver your wife? The answer is no. You can but deliver your own soul. I want to tell you again, towards the end of the sermon, there's a lot of things you need to be doing with other people, but first of all, you need to do some work at your own house, your own soul. Go with me to Numbers chapter 14, Numbers chapter 14, Numbers 14, beginning in verse 22, Numbers 14, verse 22. Remember now that the text says, they shall but deliver their own souls by their righteousness. Numbers 14, beginning in verse 22. You remember how God has told the children of Israel, they've sent the 12 spies into the land of Canaan. 10 of those spies came back with an evil report, but there were two of the spies. What were their names? Caleb and Joshua. Those two, I'd love to hear somebody named Caleb or Joshua or a Sarah. Or I had never heard of an Abraham. Well, I have too. I've known one or two Abrahams, but you know, people that love their children and give them biblical names. I think it's wonderful. And now the Word of God says that Caleb, one of the great men of God, was a man that pleased God. In Numbers chapter 14, beginning in verse 22, the Word of God says, because all those men which have seen my glory and my miracles which I did in Egypt and in the wilderness and have tempted me now these 10 times and have not hearkened to my voice, surely they shall not see the land which I swear unto their fathers, neither shall any of them that provoke me see it, but my servant Caleb, because he hath had another spirit with him and hath followed me fully, him will I bring into the land whereunto he went, and his seed shall possess it. Why did Caleb get to go into the land of Canaan? Did his righteousness have something to do with him going into the land of Canaan? Absolutely. Unrighteousness kept many of the children of Israel out of the land of Canaan. Righteousness, the righteousness of the people, blessed some to enter in. Likewise, in our lives today, God has established the kingdom of heaven, and they that do righteousness are able to enter into the kingdom of heaven. Those that are not doing righteousness are cut off and not allowed to have that intimate fellowship with God as they live from day to day. Have you ever lost fellowship with God? You ever lost it? Have you ever lost that feeling of righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost? There's some days I feel so close to God and my heart's so tender and I just cry about all kinds of things, crying for joy, like little Anna when she joined the church a couple of weeks ago and she was crying and she said, Papa, these are tears of joy, not tears of sorrow. Brethren, if we're in the kingdom of heaven, our cups are going to run over sometimes. We're going to be full of joy, righteousness, and peace. So Caleb entered into the land of Canaan because of his righteousness. I want to reiterate, because of his righteousness. God blessed him to enter the land of Canaan because he did what was right. Go with me to Isaiah chapter 57 very quickly. Look in your Bibles at Isaiah 57 verse 1. The Word of God here in Isaiah 57 in verse 1 tells us about the righteous dying before the judgment comes. Does everybody hear what I'm saying? Sometimes God, before he brings his judgment, sometimes God takes many of the righteous out before he sends his judgment. In the days of Noah, there may have been other righteous people that just died, that God took them on home before God sent the flood. Look at Isaiah 57 in verse 1. The word of God says, "The righteous perisheth, and no man layeth it to heart. And merciful men are taken away, none considering that the righteous is taken away from the evil to come." I have seen, listen carefully, I have watched parents die before their children experience the judgments of God in their lives. And I have known that God took away that righteous parent so that they didn't have to see the hell that their children were going through, because it would hurt that parent as much or more than it hurts those children. "The righteous perisheth, and no man layeth it to heart. Merciful men are taken away, none considering that the righteous is taken away from the evil to come." There are some other things that I wish that we had time to get to this morning. There are just so many things. I think probably we'll come back to part of this tonight. I want to encourage you, if we don't come back to this tonight, I want to encourage you to go home and read James chapter 1, verses 21 through 25. James 1, verses 21 through 25. Let me just read that first verse. "Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word. Receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls." Brother Richard, in his prayer, he prayed that God would help us to be doers of God's word and not hearers only. That comes from the next passage right after this. If we hear the word of God and we're doers of God's word, we are doers of righteousness. And when we are doers of righteousness, when we hear the word of God and do what God's word says, then we are spared when God brings his judgment on a land. May God help us, is my prayer for Christ's sake.